This book of Ephesians has been described as the Alps of the New Testament. I wonder if some of you have been at the Alps when it's been a clear day and you've seen the tips of the mountains. I remember last year going to Ben Nevis, the Alps of Scotland. Poor comparison, I'm afraid. But and going to this museum in the morning, and there was an overcast, and they said, "Oh, you won't see it. You won't see today." And we did. We did later on in the afternoon. It just, the sun dispersed the clouds, and we were able to see the tip of Ben Nevis and take a photograph to prove that it was the case. But these Ephesians, it takes us to high places. Places that important that we go to in our Christian experience, to see the heights, and from the heights to see the depths and to see the widths, the dimensions of God's love and His grace. So we're going to do a bit of scaling in this series together. And we're going to see a wonderful panoramic of God's purpose for His church. That's one of the biggest themes in this book, about a revelation about the church. And it's remarkable that it was written from prison, of all places. That's where he got this wonderful revelation. It's a reminder that the presence of God, the grace of God, the peace of God, the word of God, can transform any situation that we find ourselves in. And Paul begins with blessings and praise to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he mentions there's a number of blessings that we're going to be looking at in this series this morning. We're going to look at two. But first of all, he tells us seven things about these spiritual blessings that we have been blessed with in Christ Jesus. So just, these are not great digging. This is just on the surface of these verses. I just want to pick out descriptions of these blessings. First of all, comes from God the Father. Blessed, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also from blessings from his Son, Jesus Christ. We'll note that every single blessing in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his blood, as a result of the saving events of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Also blessings by the Holy Spirit. Greg will be very pleased to see that. I'm sure he would know this already. Spiritual blessings. The fact that it says spiritual blessings, it's proceeding from the Spirit. So it's blessings from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessings already accomplished. I wonder if you've noticed that. Has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. It's because of what Jesus Christ accomplished in the past for us through the life and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus on our behalf. So it's already accomplished. We just have to enter into it. Then blessings from eternity past to eternity future. Verse 4 takes us before the creation of the world. Verse 10 projects us away into the future when the times have reached their fulfillment. It also speaks in verse 14 about an inheritance received in the future until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So these are blessings that span eternity. How wonderful that these blessings are our inheritance, and it's for us to marvel in them. Blessings, fourthly, in the heavenly realms. There are three heavens. You've got the atmospheric heaven, where the clouds are. You've got the stellar heavens, where the sun, moon, and stars are placed. And then you have the realm in which God, in a very special manner, manifests his presence and his glory. It's also the place where Jesus Christ in his resurrected body dwells. The blessings we experience as Christians, they all flow out of Christ who is there. Then blessings of an unlimited measure, blessed with every spiritual blessing. Blessings covering all the good that comes to us by God's grace. Innumerable blessings, really. Then blessed because of God the Father's love, tells us that in verse 4. His glorious grace, riches of grace, his pleasure, his will, his plan, his purpose, his choice, his predestination, and to the praise of God's glory. These are words that we often just gloss over in our reading, but the reason for these blessings that we receive. And lastly, looking at these magnificent seven in the sense of descriptions about these blessings, blessings which should result in, verse 3, praise to God. And verse 12, believers living and praise of God's glory. So that's a kind of background that's looking at the blessings, just drawing out to us how amazing the dimensions of these blessings to us. And for the rest of the service, we're going to look at two of the blessings that we read about. First of all, verse 4, God enabling us to be holy and blameless before him in love. You'll notice that's a little bit different from your version. They kind of put full stop before love. But I think it's a better translation, more accurate to have God enabling us to be holy and blameless before him in love. So this is God enabling those who were, chapter 2, dead in trespasses and sins, followers of Satan and the ways of the world, disobedient, enemies of God, objects of wrath, destined for judgment, enabling us, really, all of us, to be perfectly, completely holy like God, enabling us to be absolutely blameless in his sight, to be able to stand before him, enabling us to walk in fellowship with God, enabling us to be loved by God. Isn't that amazing? What indescribable blessing. How do we come to obtain such a blessing? Well, Paul gives us two reasons. First, verse 4, it's God's choice before the creation of the world. That's mind-boggling for us to comprehend. Before God created the world, before Adam and Eve sinned, and the terrible consequences of all that for the human race, thousands of years before we were born, knowing fully every sin that we would commit in our entire life, knowing our spiritual lostness, our deadness, opposition, hatred towards God, God made a choice. God made a decision to enable us to be holy like him, to be able to know him, to be loved by him. Was it because that God knew that when we heard the good news of the gospel, we would respond and put our faith in him? Well, there's nothing about that in these verses that we read. We'll speak later on in the book about our response of faith, but here it doesn't. There's no indication in these verses. It says Paul, God's word is because of God's choice of us. That's all we're told here. That's the primary reason for our salvation. It's God's choice of us. The second reason for our being holy and blameless and loved by God was because of Jesus Christ and because of what he accomplished on our behalf, his sinless life, his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, God punishing him in our place, his death for us, his rising for us, his ascending to the right hand, his appearing in heaven for us, his indwelling our hearts in our Christian experience, in the Holy Spirit, enabling us to be holy, blameless in his sight, enabling us to be loved by God. And through Christ, we will one day stand before God's holy presence. We'll stand in the presence of our Savior, and we will experience his love, his acceptance, in a measure that we can never comprehend or experience fully in this life. That's going to be our destiny for all eternity. Isn't that amazing? The depth, the eternity of God's love, we're going to experience that. But there's a second blessing in verse 5. God adopting us as his sons and daughters. There have been a number of adoptions by celebrities. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are probably the most well-known adoptive parents. Their three adopted kids were initially adopted by Jolie. But when the couple got together, Pitt took the steps to become an adoptive parent as well. Maddox was adopted at 7 months old from Cambodia. Zahara Marley was adopted at 6 months old from Ethiopia. And Pax Thien was adopted at 3 years old from Vietnam. Other famous people who have adopted multiple children include Mia Osmond, Mia Farrow, and Sandra Bullock. What about royal adoptions? No one in the British royal family is adopted or has ever adopted a child. However, royal adoption has happened in history. In the early 1800s, the King and Queen of Sweden had no children. They adopted Marshal Bernadette of France, who became the first king of the House of Bernadette, who is still reigning today, more than 200 years later. How remarkable, the House of Bernadette. However, the adoption we are considering here is beyond comprehension, that God, the glorious Creator, would adopt mere mortals formed from the dust of the earth to be his children is beyond belief. But for God to adopt the work of his hands who rebelled so terribly against him, his goodness, his kindness, his love, who corrupted their natures so permanently, who continued to live in hostility towards God, who are deserving God's judgment and destined for it, for God to adopt individuals like that is beyond comprehension. That God would even consider adopting one from the mass of fallen humanity would be the most generous gesture ever occurring in history. But that God would consider adopting an uncalculable number of people for every tribe, people, language, a nation. It's beyond words to describe. It's in the category of fairy tales, make believe. Paul tells us here that it's truly the case. He tells us, and he tells us some amazing things about this adoption. He tells us that God's adoption of sinners, rebels, to be his children was made entirely of his own choice and will, long before we ever came into existence. Isn't that incredible? The word predestined means decide beforehand. Probably at the same time that he chose to make it possible for fallen, sinful mankind to be holy and blameless before him. Before the creation of the world, this predestination took place. Was it because God, when he looked into the future and he saw us and he thought, I would love to adopt this or that person because they're so pretty, they're so cute, they're so lovable, they're so intelligent, or because they want to be his children? There's no indication of that being the case. Instead, we are told that God's purpose of adoption was in accordance with, firstly, his pleasure, secondly, his will, thirdly, to the praise of his glorious grace, to display to those he adopts and all mankind and the heavenly host how glorious is God's grace, how undeserved it is, how unmerited it is, how generous it is. That's what Paul says here. That's the reason. That was the motivation that God adopted us. If God has called you to be one of his sons or daughters, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus and you're following him and you're serving him, it's evidence of God's calling in your life, his choosing you all these years before the creation of the world. If God has called you to be one of his sons and daughters, how awestruck we should be. 1 John 3 verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. I wonder, has that dawned? Has it really dawned upon you? We can know that to some extent, but do we really marvel? Do we rejoice in it? And God the Holy Spirit can do that. And that's one of the prayers in this letter, that we would have wisdom, understanding to comprehend. And we need the Holy Spirit just to really cause, almost like the sun shining into a dark place, and just to light up into the wonder of it. And that can happen often in our Christian experience. I remember once when it did. Just sitting reading the Bible one day, reading probably 1 John, these verses like that, and it just dawned. And I was rejoicing in it. And I went into work, and I remember there was a colleague at work, what are you so happy about this morning? And I said, I'm just rejoicing that I'm one of God's children. It was an open goal I couldn't miss. It was, you know, the ball was on the line, really. I just had to tap it over the line. It was just, and God wants us to know, to really know. And there, I remember reading about this, I think it was a Welsh miner, Billy Bray. A wonderful wonderful to read about his testimony. He was a trophy of grace, if there ever was one. And how he rejoiced. He would be dancing, almost dancing. And he was so full of the joy of being a child of God, that God would ever choose somebody like him. He never ceased to marvel. And it would cause him to just break out into dancing or song, because he was a child of God. You know, how amazing. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And all the blessings we experience from God, adoption being one of them, is through Jesus Christ. You know, this is because of what the Son accomplished through his life and death to save us. And Paul reveals something truly amazing. He says, because of how beloved and dearly loved the Son is to the Father. That's the reason. He so loves the Son so much that when we receive the Son as our Savior, God accepts and loves us as his children to the same extent that he loves his Son. Now that is beyond our understanding. We can't comprehend us. How great is God's love and grace to us. Loves his Son so much that if we love the Son, if we honor the Son, then the Father pours out his love and grace to us in and through his Son. God accepts us and loves us as his children to the extent as he loves his Son. And he loves them. How? We can never comprehend how much the Father loves his Son. And that's the marvel of the cross, isn't it? That he would punish his Son in our place. Isn't that incredible? How great is God's love and grace to us. Well, knowing and experiencing these blessings transformed the prison cell that Paul was incarcerated in Rome. And it can do the same for us. It can fill our hearts with wonder and joy and praise that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit purposed, accomplished, enabled us to experience such wonderful blessings, to be holy, to be blameless, to be loved by him, to be adopted as his children. And we're going to look at more of these blessings next week.